You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Almighty God, would you make your Son, Jesus Christ, present to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It is the first Sunday after Pentecost, and it is Trinity Sunday, and there is so much to be said about the Trinity. It was a bit intimidating, so you better buckle in. I'm just kidding. It's not going to be that long. But actually, it's a daunting thing. How does one sum up the essence of our faith, the essence of the divine God who we worship? Who exactly is this God? I think our text today, the account of creation in Genesis 1, the Great Commission, the words of Jesus right after his resurrection at the end of Matthew, in Psalm 8, tell us this about who God is. God is creative and generous, and more than anything, a God who exists in and for relationship. God is creative and generous, and God exists in and for relationship. In the very beginning of the Bible, we see God creating. It's the very beginning of the story of history, the very first thing that happens on page one. God is there, existing outside of time and space as we understand it. And God decides to do something. Picture this darkness before the earth was formed. Everything concrete that we see and understand to be necessary for life has yet to come to be. And God is there, outside of it. I picture it kind of like the pictures we see of Earth from outer space. It's there, but then scrub the earth away and scrub the stars, and maybe there are clouds, I don't know, but there's water. The account says the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the water. And in ancient Near Eastern worldview, where this account came from, water represented chaos. So picture this formless and void, and notice God's presence there. And then God said, God is so powerful that he simply speaks and things happen. He speaks and light comes into existence. He speaks and he brings form and order and life out of nothing. God's word is active and creative. And this is what I think is cool. God creates because he wants to. Do you see God there existing in this dark, formless void? No one else is there telling God what to do. No one tells God he has to create. There's no outside force superior to God forcing this to happen. That's why God is God. God did not need anything, but God wanted. God wanted. And what is it that God wanted? Look at the narrative in the beginning of Genesis. God's Spirit is hovering over this chaos there in the darkness in verse 2. And then system by system, he builds a world that is beautiful and functional and fills it with living things. He made light, and he relegated the waters to the oceans, and then he made planets and birds and fish and plants and animals, and it was orderly and careful and beautiful. God is a creative artist and a meticulous engineer. As he created, God saw all he had made, and he saw it was good. He delighted in it. It was as he had designed and as he had desired. He did a great job, and he had fun doing it. You know what it's like to cook a good meal, or paint a beautiful scene, or build a boat, or maybe make a really beautiful Excel spreadsheet, if that's the kind of art that you are good at. Make beautiful music. You know what it's like to make something and say, that was good, and enjoy it. That's what God is doing here. He's speaking things into existence, and he looks at them, and he sees they're good, and there's joy all over this passage. God wanted to build a world, and he did, and he loved it, and he loved making it, and he loved what he made. And their narrative builds to this crescendo as God creates this world that he wants. After all these things, God says, "Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness." The rest of the world God had made to this point has God's fingerprints all over it. The exact position of the planets and the specific makeup of the atmosphere reflect God's perfect wisdom. The birds who bring worms to their babies in their nests reflect God's parental care. The intricate coral and the depths of the ocean that we may never be able to find and explore reflects God's mystery. The rainforest reflects God's beauty, on and on. But in all this, God wanted to represent himself more specifically. He wanted to make a creature with a different likeness to himself and for a more specific purpose than all these. So God made mankind in God's own image. He made people and likened them to putting a statue in this garden as pointers to the creator and owner of it. As a result of this image of God we bear, he gives humanity a specific blessing and purpose to tend the earth he had made and take care of it. And that's why Psalm 8 that we just read marvels at this. It says, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and all the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and all that swim in the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." We cannot help but praise God. So notice the dignity given to you, to all created things, to people. God made us creatures, not gods. We live under God's care, sustained by God's providence, what I think of as God holding his hands around the earth to keep it going. Just like the rest of the created world, we live inside that care. And yet, because God wants to share relationship with us, he gave us a part. In the stewardship of it, of this world that he created, he said, "Tend the garden." God made humanity to have a special relationship with God. That's what God wanted. Right here at the beginning of the Bible, we see God existing in relationship with himself. Verses 1 and 2, you see God is there, and the Spirit of God is there over the waters. And in verse 26, we see this kind of conference, "Let us make man in our image," God says. "Let us make mankind to exist in this relationship uniquely with us." God made humanity to be drawn into fellowship with the God who already exists in relationship with God's triune self, and to be drawn into God's work and mission in the world. God created the world, and God created you, because God wanted to share this life with you. God did not need this world or humanity, but God wanted to make it, to enjoy it, to give it a purpose, to share God's overflowing joy and eternal peace and harmony with us. That's what the story has always been about. God wants to be with you. God wants you to be in the eternal relationship of the triune with him. Of course, we know the story pretty quickly turns into conflict and brokenness. Right after this, sin destroys the perfect harmony of relationship between God and people. And yet God did not allow things to remain broken, but pursued fellowship with people through the covenants and then came himself, incarnating as one of the very creatures he had created to atone for sin himself and repair all that is broken by making a new creation in which sin has already been broken. Right after Jesus rose as the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn of this new creation, inaugurating it, that this creation we eagerly await for, God again spoke in Jesus and he blessed his followers, giving them a mandate that echoes that first creation covenant. It's in our gospel text from Matthew 28. At the beginning of the Bible, God made humanity and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, tend the earth as I do." And now he looks at his followers and he says, "Go, multiply. Go in the authority I am granting you, marked by the ways I have formed you, speaking the message I gave you, and bring others into this relationship with us, that we might share with them too. This is the work I'm about. I'm sharing it with you as my children, the ones who have this purpose in my kingdom." Do you see Jesus echoing what God told people at the very beginning? God creates to share relationship. He makes more and more beauty to share. He creates for a purpose with intentionality, and he's not finished creating this kingdom of eternal peace because he has not returned. He will. And until then, we are his ambassadors, as 2 Corinthians says. We are his servants. We are his gardeners. We are his adopted sons and daughters, co-inheritors with Christ. We represent him to the watching world. So many do not know that God has freely given himself, freely desires to be close to people, that God has made the way for them to be in relationship with him. How will they hear without someone to tell them? Jesus sends us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and he goes with us. "I am with you always," he says. "Tell everyone about me. Tell them about the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God who is relational, the God who gave himself for them because he loves them." God creates because he wants relationship with us. He shares his mission because he's generous and chooses to include us. This creation account reminds us God does not need us, and that frees us to serve him with gladness, freedom, and joy. He created us in love so that we would love him. He made us so that he could shower us with this abundant love, that we would live as recipients of it. And that is a love that begets more creativity, that begets more creativity. Because God is a generous creator, we are held safely in his sustaining presence. God created from outside the world, and God still is outside it. And God's Spirit is hovering over the waters here with us now in our own chaos, comforting, teaching, pointing to the crucified Son by whom we have life. God created you because he wanted to. He wanted to know you and love you and share the stewardship of his world with you. So with the psalmist, we say, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.